A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. When he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. At first glance, this mystery of the Blessed Trinity can seem one of those abstract mysteries that doesn't have much impact or relevance for our daily lives. But I don't think that's really so. It's a mystery, at the very minimum, that can raise our hearts and minds up past this world. You know, these days, many of us, myself included, we become news junkies. You know, we're always, surrounded by the latest thing that's happening. Some guy murders some people, there's riots going on here or there, and we're following it all kind of obsessively, Or we can be sports junkies, or we can be social media addicts. And it all tends to bog us down in this world with the fleeting, passing things that are going on, and the next news cycle is something else. But this mystery of the Blessed Trinity, at the very minimum, helps raise our hearts and minds beyond this crazy world that we're locked into right now. You ever think why we build churches like this? You know, grand architecture, high ceilings that kind of naturally just lift us up beyond, the four walls that we're confined in. Why Catholic churches tend not to be in little storefront with low ceilings and crowded in. No, because we want our souls and our hearts to rise up and aspire to something more than just this narrow little world. And good church architecture does that for us. Good church music, the same thing. It raises our hearts and minds beyond this world. And this doctrine of the Most Holy Trinity does that for us, because it reveals something fundamental. Something people didn't know in the Old Testament. And if you had asked any self-respecting Jew whether there could be three persons in one God, they probably would have burned you at the stake or something. Like, no way. Yahweh is one. In fact, that's what the Jews were known for in the world, that they were the people who believed in one God, monotheists, where most of the peoples back then were polytheists. They believed in all sorts of gods. God of the moon, God of the sun, you name it. And each nation had its own gods. But the Jews were different because they believed in this one God who created everything. And yet Jesus comes along with this revelation that, yes, this one God is somehow three distinct persons. And at the core of the center of the universe, there's this mystery of three persons in relationship to each other. In this eternal relationship of love and self-giving and pouring themselves out for each other. And that, when Jesus finally reveals it to us, like in this gospel, when he speaks of Father, Son, and Spirit, it changes the way we think of God and the way we think of ourselves. Because if God is the deepest mystery, then at the core of that deepest mystery is relationship. Even God is in relationship to each of the three persons. And they exist in this eternal relationship of love. And then this Trinity has revealed itself to us and wants to communicate with us, its creatures, its creation. And promises, Jesus promises that the love that He and the Father have for each other will be in us. And that we're called to be one with God the way He is equal and one with the Father. And so somehow we're getting lifted up into this relationship with the Trinity. And we're being elevated beyond our own existence here in this world that's so often frustrating and a failure for so many people, so many times unsatisfying and ends in tragedy all too often. Yet we're supposed to be in relationship with this mystery of divine love. And so our destiny is something much greater than what we have here that can't be satisfied. And so we look above this world for our satisfaction and our fulfillment. And when He pours Himself out for us, most notably by offering His life on the cross for us, it shows us what relationships are really about. That none of us can be fulfilled unless we give ourselves to others in a relationship of love, whatever form that might take. Marriage, family, friendships, all of those things make us more like God and fulfill us. Yet it reveals to us that at the core of our existence too, we have to be in relationships of love. John Paul II used to say all the time, man remains a mystery to himself unless he's in relationship of love with other people. And it's only when we make a gift of ourselves to others is that we discover who we really are and what our potential is. And so at the core of our existence isn't fame or fortune or power, but love. That's the most divine thing and the most human thing that we have. And that's the thing we most ought to pursue. And the world doesn't believe that, but Christians do. And we Christians need to be reminded on days like this of the mystery of the Trinity, that that's really who we are, and the only way we're going to have peace and joy is through love. I think there's a second thing that Jesus reveals, especially in this gospel, but in other places too, is that this investment, you might call it, of the Trinity in us, and how Jesus offers Himself in love for us. And then He says, starts out this gospel by saying, I have many more things to tell you. There are plenty more mysteries about God, but you cannot bear it now. Well, He knows that our capacity to take in the infinite and the divine is really limited. Because even His disciples that He spent 3 years with couldn't grasp so many things. He says, but I will send the Spirit of Truth, and He will guide you, plural, to all truth. See, Jesus makes the revelation, and He gives us the fullness of what God wants us to know. But the Spirit is going to clarify the meaning of all of that. And now for these 2,000 years, we've had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit since Pentecost. That Spirit continues to guide the church and enable the church to go deeper and deeper into the mystery of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And He guides us all to know the truth that'll set us free. And it's the truth that sets us free. Not power, not money, not influence, but the truth about God. Because the more we know that truth about God, that the Spirit guides us to, the more we understand ourselves. So this great feast is a feast that points us to our ultimate destiny, our ultimate goal, to be with God forever. Then we'll be elevated and lifted up. Scripture says, they will be like gods. We don't know exactly what that entails, but somehow we become superhuman, if you want to use the term, in heaven. Because there'll be this transforming union with God for all of us. And we'll see the world, and we'll see history, and we'll understand things from God's point of view, from that infinite perspective. Somehow we're going to share in that. And we'll know as we are known. Let's thank the Lord for revealing this mystery of who He is, three persons in one God. Because it teaches us that love reveals who we are. That relationships are what really matters. And that ultimately we'll be united with God forever. Praise be Jesus Christ, both now and forever.